All right, we're starting on chapter 16, which means we're approximately halfway through Proverbs. It is not when we get to the end of Proverbs that you're going to obtain all the wisdom. You should be obtaining wisdom daily as we go through this. So we should be halfway being smart right now. If not smart, then we should be halfway being wiser than what we were when we started this course. But again, as we found out up to this point, there's been a lot of repetition that's put in Proverbs, and it's put in there for a reason. God intended for us to go over this and over this and over this until it becomes a part of our mindset. Even in the very first verse of chapter 16, if you go forward to verse number 9, just turn forward to verse number 9, you're going to find out that both of them basically say the same thing. So God repeats himself so that we'll take note of that and put it into our memory bank. And this very verse has been repeated from prior into what we've been reading up to now and studying up to now. Okay, the plans of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from Jehovah. What we're saying here that we constantly as men, humans in this world, think about things we're going to do, things we're going to say, places we're going to go. We plan in our mind what we're going to do. But it is the Lord that's going to allow us or not allow us to say those things or do those things sometimes that we plan. He is always, always in control. We have another verse coming up in this chapter that says that if it's God's will, then things will happen. I'm going to do this, or you're going to do this, or we're going to do this if God wills us to do it. Since we've covered this before, and we've never covered it again, I'll tell you when we get to verse 9, is that anybody that has any question about what God's trying to point out at this point? What's the old saying? Man proposes, God disposes. Man proposes, God disposes. No thoughts, no comments on that. Okay. Number 2. All the ways of man are clean. A man is clean in his own eyes. The Jehovah weigheth the spirits.
Jeremiah here says that Jehovah weighs the motives of the heart. So, to me, it's he looks at the heart on why we did what we did.
Judy, that's correct. Have you ever found that when you made a bad decision and it's called a question, immediately we start justifying it. Mm-hmm. We start, well, why we did that? Oh, we had reason to do that. Oh, you don't understand everything. I'm telling you why I did that. So we try to justify things that even we know that we're wrong in. Mm-hmm. But God knows. He knows. He weighs our spirits. He knows the innermost feelings that we have. And sometimes we don't want to admit as human beings that we're wrong and just come out and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. That's the hardest thing to say sometimes. I'm sorry. Particularly when you're in the midst of justifying, you know, what you've done. Yeah, Kathy.
I got another verse that might help you.
Okay.
In Luke 16:15, he says, Jesus
says, you are the ones who justify
yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is
detestable
in God's sight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Instead of admitting we're wrong and saying we're sorry for it, we immediately start justifying. Well, you just don't understand where I'm coming from. Let me see if I can add a little bit to it. All right. Number 3. Commit thy works unto Jehovah, and thy purposes shall be established. There's a commitment that we have to make in our lives that we're going to follow God, that we're going to do His will.
Terry, I think it points also to do all things unto the Lord. Do all things with Him in mind. And He will establish our plans.
He will establish our plans. I think in was James 4:15, if the Lord's will, we shall do this or that.
Yes. Yeah.
If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. All right. Number four. Jehovah hath made everything for its own end, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God created us all. And it's our choice then whether or not we're going to be good or evil. But some of us take the evil road and we don't repent of that. But we have a purpose here in life while we're here. I got a comment here where it says a lady asked a question, why does God not just kill all the wicked and allow us righteous to build a heaven here, right here on earth? Of course, the answer to that was if God were to do that, there would be not enough righteous people left to keep the lions and tigers from eating up the human race. There'd be enough of us left to take care of ourselves. So even in their evil state, they would do things that help the righteous to live, to keep from being harmed. He makes us both. He made us all. Some turn out good, some turn out bad.
Well, also, you don't never know which evil person can be changed to move over on the Lord's side. You know, so
He gives us a chance, doesn't He?
Exactly.
He gives us a choice. Number five, everyone that is proud in heart, notice this word here, is an abomination to God. Proud in heart. Though hand in hand, he shall not go unpunished. No matter how many you have on your side or how many you fooled by having it in your heart and not showing it.
My translation here, this is from the NIV. It says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And I like this, to be sure of
this. To be sure. Yeah. The day of reckoning is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have a secret proudness in your heart, it's not obvious. If you have it in there, then God knows it, and you will not go unpunished. The very first clause of this, about abomination of pride of heart, we covered in chapter 11 and 20, by the way. Number six, by mercy and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of Jehovah, men depart from evil. There's only one thing that can take away sin and be atonement for sin. But that song says, what can take my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Respect for God is another word for the fear of Jehovah, men depart from evil. Respect for God as a way to turn away from evil and have your sins washed away. Number seven, when a man's ways please Jehovah, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. That's probably not true in all cases, but surely the ways of a Christian or the personality of a Christian would be the way to try to tone people down and to get them at peace and to make friends with one another. Certainly not the way of evil when you got one clashing with another. Saying is, a Christian is the most lovable personality in human life. A Christian should have the most lovable personality in human life. So surely you will make friends of some of those people who are your enemies. Any comments? Yeah, Chuck.
I think that once the quote-unquote enemy realizes who you are and what you represent, I think they're in a better state of peace because they realize that you won't do them any harm.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to worry about you living next door. They still worry about all the other worldly people. I said, well, he's a Christian. I don't have to worry about him scratching my car, keying my car, mm-hmm. taking my mail, or doing anything evil like that.
We're quick to make decisions on just what we see instantly, on just first glances. We're quick to make decisions about people. It goes with the old saying, I don't like that fellow, I must get to know it. But once you get to know it, once you get to know someone's personality, then you can form a relationship that has good bondage there, good love for one another. But we're quick to judge people by their appearance sometimes. Too quick in a lot of cases. All right. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Better to live humbly with righteous people and a good heart toward God than have great treasures, a great wealth of material things where there's injustice, there's some evil purposes that you have it, all it was gained. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and raiment, let us be content therewith. If that's all we have is food and clothing, let us be content therewith. Any comments on that?
So it's better to live humbly with...
We're going to have another verse that's going to cover that too. So yes, it's better to live humbly with little than to be in a place where there's lots that was evilly gained or dishonestly gained. Things that we get. Things, stuff. Stuff.
Chapter 17:1 is going to say something almost like that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Number 9, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but Jehovah directeth his steps. Again, almost parallel to the very first verse we started off with. Number 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth shall not transgress his judgment. Because we have so many instances of evil kings in the Bible, it almost should read, his mouth should not, should not transgress his judgment, because we know we've had a lot of evil kings. We have examples in the Bible. But the king had the authority. When it says the divine sentence is in the lips of the king, he had the authority to put away people that he didn't like. He had the authority to do that. We're going to get on the verse pretty soon where God completely, and also we have examples in the New Testament, all people who are elected, God lets serve at his it's His pleasure. And then we are to come under their governing. Unless it's in their in direct opposition to the Lord's work. But then that's, we'll be covering that too. Going back to to number 11, we've covered this before. A just balance and scales of Jehovah's, all the weights of the bag are His work. God's stamp is on the standard weights and measures, and unfair practices of any kind in any trade is against God's will. And that includes the scammers that operate today on the internet. Mm-hmm. That are out there trying to get things from you, misrepresenting what they are selling. I want you to get involved in. Any unfair practice in trade is against God's will. And back in the days, the early days of the Bible, of course, the weights and measures were stones that they had, that they would put a value on. It was supposed to equal just weights and pounds or whatever they were. But a man could easily go into his bag and pull out a false weight and chip people or get unjust money for a product. Now we have honest scales. If they're adjusted right, they're on the scale. But we have many other ways now and scams that people can be taken advantage of that are just as bad and will be judged just as critically as they in the old days. Any comments on that? It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Note that word, abomination. It's against God's will for kings to commit wickedness. For the throne is established by righteousness. It is God that allowed them to have the throne. He allowed for them to be in the position that they are. Just like the people we have in our government. We are the ones that put them there, and God allowed them to be there. Someone turn to Romans 13:1. Let's read that. That's a New Testament verse pertaining to that. Romans 13:1.
13 what?
13:1.
You want me to read?
Yeah, please, if you got it. Yeah.
Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God.
There's no misunderstanding in that. I want you to understand. I know we get upset with our government. And I know we get upset with some of the practices that they're putting out there. But they're in there because God allowed them to be in there. And while they're in there, then all the just laws that they make, then we're subject to. Only when they're contrary to His will. And there comes a question now about these laws on I'm not going to say the word abortion, is killing the babies. There's a conflict going on there. What we can and cannot do. We can let our feelings be known, that's for sure. If it goes to being something reacting violently against that, I'm not sure what my position would be on that. But undoubtedly I would stand up for the cause of Christ and say that's killing, that's murder, that's a sin. How can you ever see in my mind how that can be justified? Okay, anybody got any thoughts or questions on that?
I think that's why it's so paramount to pray before elections. That God will put the right person in the position of power. And I think a lot of times we fail to do that as Christians.
God gives us many opportunities to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if we aren't wise, and we haven't been wise in many occasions, He's let us suffer the results of it.
Yeah.
That's punishment. That's correction that He puts out there, hoping that we'll heed it next time. Sometimes we don't learn too quick, do we? We just keep on. Keep on. And there's going to become, as Chuck would say, there's going to become a day. We're one day closer to when that judgment's going to take place. But one day, even today, we're one day closer.
When we vote for somebody, what do we take in account? What we want or what God wants?
Right, right.
And that is so important. What does God want for a leader to be like?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we don't take that in consideration because we want what we want.
Right. I'm hoping, even in this class here, that we're going to gain the wisdom, even though when we have people running for election and I hear the argument, well, this person's against this, but see, this person over here, they're against that, so I'm going to choose this person over here. When it comes down to critical decisions where in your heart you know absolutely that it's against God's will, that prevails. Over whether or not this guy's been married two times or whatever his record might be. And in my estimation, the killing of little babies is the final answer. There's no question that I wouldn't vote not.
It's really no difference than when they burned their children in the Old Testament. We're doing the same thing.
We're doing the same thing. That's right. Okay. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Of course a king likes people who stand up for him, righteous people, because they help him to gain the favor of the other people. They're what you call ideal kings, which we don't have to, we didn't have too many of. But if they love him and they speak his right about him, then of course he gains favor by the population. That's the whole purpose of a kingdom, is for them to find him in favor. And keep him in high regards, or respect him in high regard. An ideal king would take pleasure in truth and justice, and of course his subjects would promote that by talking good about it. Any thoughts? Number 14, the wrath of kings is a messenger of death. Just remember that. Bad king, or getting his wrath, he could put you to death. He's a messenger of it. But a wise man will pacify it. In other words, a wise man will use his good judgment, his wisdom, to avoid the displeasure of the king. That doesn't mean that he would promote it. That doesn't mean that he would agree with it all the time. But he would certainly be wise enough to know he wants to avoid the king's displeasure. We fortunately do not have someone who serves in that kind of an office that has that kind of a power. Just because they dislike us, they could put us to death. But they certainly could cause us displeasure and harm if they did like us. Okay, anybody's thoughts? Number 15. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is the cloud of the latter rain. So, and the light of the king's countenance is life. And light of the king's benevolence, or looks of benevolence, is life. And his favor is the cloud of the latter rain. If a king's look is benevolent, that portends life, and his favor is like promising of a spring rain. You know, Solomon, in his earlier days, was noted for his wise decisions and his great great way, the way he ruled, because he found this pleasure later on in his life by going away from God. Number 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? This goes back to almost the very beginning of Proverbs when we started. How valuable wisdom was. How valuable, more valuable than gold and silver, should be sought after just as hard or just as fervently as we would try to gain gold or silver. It says, yea, to get understanding. Or to get common sense. That's what we say. Understand. Every time you see the word understanding in Proverbs, it would mean common sense. It's rather to be chosen than silver. You'll gain much more in your spiritual life, and you'll gain much more in this material life if we have wisdom. It's kind of like a truism. It's so true, but it's practiced by a few. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. That parallels the thought in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Someone turn to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, because that thought right there is kind of preserved in those words that we read when we go into the New Testament. I'm going to read it again, and then if you have it, go ahead and read it. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. I think Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 is going to say something about life.
Ephesians?
Extra life. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3.
Okay. Children, obey your parents, and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not expire your children. Aspirate your children.
1 through 3. Would,
oh, 1 through 3,
that,
okay.
That would kind of put that in the path that we want to take. That would be the highway to follow those three verses right there. Okay. Number 18, going back to that pride again. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Pride's going to bring shame on you. We can go back to chapter 11, verse 2, and I think it tells you that. I'm just going to read it real quick, chapter 11, verse 2, about pride. When pride cometh, we've studied this before, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, and a haughty spirit before fall. And a haughty spirit is the same thing as expressing pride in your life. It gives you that kind of spirit. Pride brings shame, and humility brings honor. Number 19, better is it to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's almost comparable to a verse we just read a while ago of being satisfied with little. Better to be a lowly spirit, an humbleness with the spirit, an humbleness with nothing really of great value with the poor, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Be a part of the wickedness that gained that spoil for the people who have it and obtained it, evil people. Any comments? All repetitious, mostly in particular in these verses here that we've studied before, that God is reinforcing to be part of our everyday life. He that giveth heed unto the word shall find good. And whosoever trusteth in Jehovah, happy is he. Giving heed means he who listens and obeys unto the word shall find good. And he who trusteth believeth in Jehovah, happy is he. Cannot do one without the other, by the way. You need them both. You have to have both of them. You got to trust, and you got to listen, and you got to heed. You got to do it. How about it? Anybody got any thoughts? Okay. Number 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. Remember, that was one of the facets of wisdom. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Sweetness of the lips in this case could more aptly mean compliments, which would bring forth learning and uplifting of another person, to give them a compliment when they justly deserve it. They not only will learn from it, but it will uplift them. It will give them delight in their heart. Understand that?
Yeah, Kathy.
Everybody loves a good pat on the back.
Sure they do. Sure they do.
When they're doing the right
thing. And at the right time, which means, that's what prudent means. Mm-hmm. At the right time, it can be a big difference. A big difference. It not only uplifts them, they learn a lesson from that. Yes. They can repay a compliment at the right time.
When we come together here, that is such an encouragement for all.
Encouragement for us, right, to be here.
Striving to do what's right.
Mm-hmm. Number two, going back to common sense, and it says, my Bible reads, understanding is the wellspring of life unto him that hath it. In other words, common sense is the wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the correction of fools is their folly. You can admonish a fool, you can try to correct it, he won't learn anything from it. You can punish a fool in a lot of cases, and he won't learn anything from it. He'll go ahead and redo the same thing. Our prisons are full of them. They've come out and got right back into trouble. The correction of fools is their downfall, you might as well say. Number 23. The heart of the wise instructeth his mouth, and adds learning to his lips. That would be the pure heart of the wise, of instructive mouth, and adds learning to his lips. Good sense makes men judicious in their talk, and adds persuasiveness to what they say. This would be a good motto for all salesmen to have, by the way. Also, number 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I have here in my notes, friendly conversation is agreeable and useful. It relaxes the mind. It dispels anxiety, provides information, promotes mutual love and kindness, enables us to return to life's business with renewed vigor. Just a nice, friendly, casual conversation. That's got it. Pleasant words to be heard. Often we get sit down and talk to someone, they want to tell us all about their troubles, or they want to gossip about their friends, or want to tell us an unpleasant joke. And we sit there and listen to it, how much more nourishment to our body would be to sit there and just have a pleasant conversation with godly thoughts. Going back to verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. This, I don't know how many times we've covered this. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We just covered that back in 14, by the way, 14:12, that verse. There is a way. Yeah. You know, that's an encouragement to us to go back to the other other verses that cover seek counsel. You know, we may think in our hearts that we know exactly what we should do and we know best. But seek counsel. Always seek godly counsel. You can't go wrong with seeking godly counsel. Number 26 and 27, we're going to combine those two because they're basically saying the same thing. The appetite of the laboring man labors for him, for his mouth urges him thereby. A worthless man devises mischief, and his lips there is a scorching fire. If you're a laboring man, you're laboring because you want yourself to be fed. you want to know where the food is coming from. You want to know where the clothes are coming from. You want to know where the shelter is coming from. And his mouth will tell himself, so you got to go to work. You ain't that sick today. You go on to work. You got time. But a worthless man will think of ways not to go to work. Why he doesn't have to work. Or he'll start spreading gossip about other people. He's the maker of gossip. Any questions on that? Number 28, a perverse man scattereth abroad strife, and a whisperer separates friends. A person who spreads gossip causes trouble between close friends. And if they're gossiping about him, they're going to gossip about you. Sometimes we have a tendency to listen to him, and he could be taking gossip about you to the next guy down the road. So you don't want to even be around a person like that. Troublemakers are always causing problems. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. If you know a man of a violent character, then he's going to try to persuade his neighbor to do it with him, or he's going to persuade his neighbor that's what he needs to do on his own. And he'll lead them into a way that, of course, is ungodly and is not good. Any comments? Just good. By now, that ought to be common sense to all of us. Thoughts like that. He that shutteth his eyes is to devise perverse things. He that compresseth his lips bringeth evil to pass. I know the winking of the eyes, and I couldn't find any other work when I started to research this. In the old days, they used to wink the eye as if I'm putting one over. He would tell this person, I'm putting one over on this guy right here. You know, that was a common thing for him to do. He says he's not going to do what he said, or he's just going to make a joke of it. But he that compresses his lips bringeth evil to pass. And I'm not sure what compresses mean. I don't know if anybody else has a better word there. Mine says compresses.
Mine says purses his lips.
Purses?
Yeah, purses. I got purses.
I couldn't find anything related to that either. Purses. I don't know. I'll have to see if I can find more. But in everything I had, I couldn't find it. Number 31, the hoary head is the crown of life. It shall be found in the way of righteousness. Hoary head, I guess, would be
gray hair.
That's what mine says.
It's the crown of life.
I don't think I like that.
Yeah. It looked like to me, and I don't mean to add words in here, but it looked like to me this should say the hoary head is the crown of life if it shall be found in the way of righteousness. But there are a lot of gray-headed people out there that aren't following God.
Mine says if gained in righteous life.
Okay, yours says if. Mine doesn't. It just says. Well, I'm glad that. I wrote in the word if in mine.
It is a thing in the way of righteousness.
Uh-huh.
That's right. So we should be proud of our gray hair.
That's right. That's
head.
Right.
Right?
That's okay. Right.
I got it straight from the elder there.
Number 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. If you have control over your conduct at all times, you're better than one who might have great power and use it destructively. And he that ruleth his spirit, in some cases I read where this, he that ruleth his appetite and his passions, than he that taketh the city, than he that has a mighty army behind him and taketh the city. If you can do those two things, you're on your way to saving your soul. Slow to anger and controlling your appetite and your passions. When I say appetite, I'm talking about the appetite for evil. Number 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of Jehovah. We all know in reading the Old Testament that's the way they solved made a lot of decisions, casting lots. Matthias was even chosen that way. But there's no record of it being done in the New Testament.
Well, that's again, we can take that to where we go and vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cast our lot for a certain candidate, mm-hmm. but who really is going to be
chosen,
it's going to be up to God.
Up to God, if you have that right. Yep, I hadn't put it that way. I hadn't seen it that way. But we know that God gives us wisdom. He gives us a whole book of Proverbs to get wisdom to make good decisions on. And they didn't have Proverbs back in. Or they didn't have a complete study of Proverbs back in those days. That completes chapter 16. So that means next time we're going to start on chapter 17. It's been a good class, and I thank you. I thank you.
Thank you.